Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus is speaking, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the loving shepherd of our bodies and of our souls, dear fellow redeemed. On the wall in my office, there is a picture that is very precious to me. Precious for two reasons. One, for which it was given, and two, for the lesson that it portrays. The picture is of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He's standing in a valley, a river running behind him. He's surrounded by sheep. And in his arm is a little lamb. The little lamb is gazing up into his Savior's eyes. And Jesus is also looking into the eyes of the little lamb that's in his arms. That picture was given to me by my third grade classmates, and I went to the hospital for a rheumatic fever. Now, I've long forgotten many of the names of those classmates, but I still remember that picture and the meaning behind it. I was that little lamb who was sick, who was away from my family and my friends and my classmates, for 5 weeks in the hospital. And yet, I wasn't alone. I was there safe in the arms of my good shepherd, Jesus. And that's our theme from our sermon text this morning. We are safe in the arms of Jesus. First of all, because he's our good shepherd, and secondly, because we're the sheep of his pasture. Jesus began this discourse shortly after he healed a man who was born blind. This occurred during the Feast of the Tabernacles, 6 months before his suffering and death on the cross and resurrection. During that feast, Jesus then got up and began to boldly say to the people, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Jesus is in a class by himself. That word for good is used in the same way that God uses it in Genesis 1 when he looked at each day of creation, and we're told God saw that it was good. It's good in the sense of perfect, unsurpassed, without equal. Jesus is not just one of many good shepherds. He is the good shepherd. He's unique. Singular, alone, he is exclusive. He's the perfect shepherd, the very best. He has no equal, no superior when it comes to his character of goodness or the work that he does. And Jesus is not the only one who testifies to his character of goodness. God the Father said the same thing as baptism. The Father said from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So what makes Jesus this unique, special, one of a kind good shepherd? His selfless, perfect, surrendering love to all of us. The people of Jesus' day knew all about shepherds. They knew all about sheep. Sheep are docile, pretty harmless animals, but they're also stubborn and stupid. In storms, lightning storms especially, it's been recorded that sheep in a pen will crawl together in a corner and pile up on top of each other and smother the sheep on the bottom, and they'll be suffocated. Sheep out in the field, when there's a wild animal coming, many of them just stand frozen and gather together. They're easy pickings. Many a sheep has plunged to his death in a ravine because he's reaching a little bit further for that bush that he shouldn't reach for, and he crashes to his death. In my reading, I found that when sheep, they fall on their backs, sometimes they can't even roll over and get up. They lie there helplessly bleating. Sheep have no sharp teeth, no sharp claws. They are totally defenseless animals. A sheep without a shepherd is helpless. That's why a dedicated good shepherd is so vitally important. One that's willing to give his own life for the safety of his sheep. And that's why we need the good shepherd. Because God calls us many times in the Bible sheep. He doesn't call us lions. He doesn't call us horses. He calls us sheep. We too are defenseless. We too are powerless. We too are rebellious. And we too are stupid. Does that offend you? It shouldn't. But sometimes the truth hurts. We so often think that we're so self-reliant, resilient, good, intelligent, resourceful, are easy pickings for the roaring lion, Satan. One trouble, one problem comes our way, and we fall apart. One illness, one sickness, one disease hits us, we fall on our back, and we can't get up. One financial reversal happens, and what do? We bleat, complaining, crying, help me. One temptation comes, and we reach for it and reach for it until we fall into that pit, that ravine, that ditch of sin. The Lord summarizes it very well in Isaiah 53. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In that last line, we see another quality attribute of a sheep that we have, and that is stubbornness. We want to go our way. We don't always want to follow our shepherd's way. Well, in our text this morning, Jesus is warning us that not every shepherd can be trusted. There are those he calls hirelings. These are hired hands. They don't own the sheep. They're just watching the sheep because they're getting paid for it. You can imagine some of these hired hands in their complaints. Ah, these lousy hours. Such long hours, all day long. Lousy working conditions. And these smelly sheep. These dumb, stubborn, rebellious, stupid sheep. When a lion or a bear or a wolf comes after them, you think the hired hand is going to stand there and give his life for those sheep? He's known them. He's out of there. He's going to flee for his life and leave the sheep as easy prey. Well, Jesus is here speaking about the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of his day, as well as today, religious leaders who do not care about the spiritual well-being of their people, the flock. They're in it for the money, the prestige, the honor, the glory, for their own self-interests. They cannot stand up to Satan when he attacks the flock with false teaching. Instead, very often they compromise and make treaties with immorality, lies, deceit, and worldliness. What does the Lord say in Romans 16? For those who are such do not serve our Lord, Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own appetites, their own desires. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. Jesus, on the other hand, the good shepherd, takes his shepherding seriously. His relationship with all of his sheep is one of loving self-surrender. We've seen it so beautifully during these last 6 weeks of Lent and during Holy Week. Jesus humbly gave himself as a good shepherd for every one of us. He humbled himself under his Father's will. He humbled himself by leaving his throne in heaven, coming to this earth, and taking upon our flesh and blood and becoming a human being just like us. He humbled himself by allowing himself to be placed under the law and to keep it for us. He humbled himself by allowing himself to be arrested and beaten and mocked and ridiculed and then finally even crucified upon the cross. He humbled himself by having the Father forsake him and he endure hell for us. He took our curse upon himself, was crucified upon the cross. But what good is a dead shepherd to the sheep? It's kind of a noble thought to have a shepherd say, I'm willing to die for my sheep, and many of them did. But what good is it if the wolf, the lion, the bear kills the shepherd? The sheep now have no one to protect them. So if we are following a dead shepherd, then we, lost sheep, are miserably, foolishly, pitifully following a dead shepherd. We really then are under Satan's control. But Christ says, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Remember Jesus' words on Good Friday? It is finished, and Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He was willingly laying down. He didn't die because of the crucifixion. That was the outward sign, but he died willingly for us. Lay down his life. Then Easter Sunday, what's the message? He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. He took his life up again when he raised from the dead. This message was all according to the plan, his Father's plan. His Father's plan for our salvation. His death paid for the full punishment of your sins and my sins. And the resurrection assured us of a victory over sin, death, hell, and freedom from Satan's power. We're always safe in our Savior's arms. And those words that Jesus said about laying down his life and taking it again, those were said 6 months before those events happened on Easter Sunday. What a good shepherd, a great shepherd we have. We're also sure that we're safe in our Savior's arms because we are the sheep of his pasture. We read in verses 14 to 16, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Even as real shepherds know their sheep so very well that they know the habits of each of their sheep, how they sleep, when they sleep, what they eat, how they get along with other people, and they even name their sheep. Even as they do that, so Jesus says, he knows you and me individually. as his sheep. This knowing of Jesus is a knowing of love. It describes that blessed relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. It's a knowledge of experience. In fact, Jesus says that he knows everything about us. He knows our needs. He knows our cares. He knows our worries. He knows our concerns. He knows our fears. He knows our wants. He knows our desires. He knows our pain. He knows our future. He even said one time, he knows how many hairs are on the top of our heads. How can we not be safe in the arms of such a caring, loving, and knowing shepherd? This knowing us, Jesus says, is compared to the knowing that God the Father has for his Son. Isn't that amazing? That's a wow there. Even as God the Father perfectly knows his Son, so Jesus says, I perfectly know and care for each of you. That relationship the Father has for his Son and the Son for the Father is the same relationship that Jesus has for each of us. That's the greatest comfort we have. And we also know him because we know his voice. In the verses prior to our text, verses 3 through 5, we read these words. Jesus says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. True sheep of the good shepherd know and listen to his voice, and they follow him. If we listen to strangers, imposters, imitators, we'll be led astray. So what does that mean? Listen to and cling only to God's word. That's where Jesus speaks to us. That's where his voice is, speaking to us. Not man's interpretation, not human reason, not scientific opinions, not philosophical wisdom. What a blessing verse 16 is in our text. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is here speaking directly about you and about me. The Gentiles of future generations, they're going to be brought together into this one flock. There was a flock of the Old Testament, primarily Jewish sheep, and now there's a flock of the New Testament, primarily Gentile sheep. And Jesus says, it's not going to be two flocks. It's going to be one big flock. All believers in Christ, the Holy Christian Church, shepherded by one good shepherd, one flock of believers, no nationality, all one. Where else would a sheep rather be than in the loving, powerful arms of his shepherd? Where else would we rather be in the powerful arms of Jesus? As the world draws ever closer to the end of time, our enemies are becoming more numerous, more ferocious, and more bold in their attacks on Christianity and all that it stands for. Society has gone the way of immorality and decadence. Freedom and one's rights have removed morals, virtues, and God's commandments. Mother Earth and the environment has replaced God and creation. The truth of God's word and the fact that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ, today is looked upon as being hate speech and arrogant theology. And yet our shepherd says, he prepares for us a table before us in the presence of all of our enemies. a table in which he feeds us with his precious word, the power of his word, which through the Holy Spirit assures every single one of us sheep that we are not defenseless. We are not helpless, because we are safe every day in the arms of our Good Shepherd Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.